Tune in to Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on the dailystormer.com.
Welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is the 6th of November 2015. You will find our podcast in the sidebar of the dailystormer.com, and you can also find the chat room there and our live stream. And we are broadcasting this at the moment over the live stream, so this is live radio, and so make exceptions if we do make a few mistakes or if the old Skype line breaks down on us, as it occasionally does. As today, as always, I have with me Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. And how are you doing today, Dennis?
I'm all right. I feel like a pop star today. I've got a mic stand in front of me. I feel like Rod Stewart.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, I use a mic stand as well. It's very helpful, but so that you don't knock it if you
we'll
have something.
See.
Yeah, if you have it on the table, you end up getting loads of vibration noises, I find.
Yeah, well, I'm clumsy at best of times, so we'll see.
And, just before we sort of get started today, I just because it was Guy Fawkes Day yesterday, and I thought I'd have a little look at the information around Guy Fawkes. And obviously he was a traditionalist, he wasn't an anarchist, so it's a bit bizarre that these anonymous groups wear his masks. But as I was looking through the research, I found the punishment for traitors and for treason. And I know you're often saying, you know, that all of this lot in government should be put up against the wall, Dennis, which, lawfully they are traitors. Lawfully they are traitors, and it is high treason that they're guilty of. Now, this is the punishment for high treason. They were to be put to death halfway. Oh, hang on. They were to be drawn backwards to their deaths by a horse, head near the ground. They were to be put to death halfway between heaven and earth as unworthy of both. Their genitals were to be cut off and burnt before their eyes, and their bowels and their hearts removed. They would then be decapitated, and the dismembered parts of their bodies displayed, so that they might become prey for the fowls of the air. Now, that is the traditional punishment for a traitor. And
you know what? That's too good for Merkel.
It is. You think of what she's done, what she's done to the country and the nation. I mean, it really is high treason to just invite your enemies into your country, and then 10-1 in some places, 10-1.
It's not just treason; it's a crime to humanity, which is treason to your own country, but it's treason to the world. So really, that just ain't good enough. I'm not happy with that.
Well, it is. It's committing genocide against their own people. And that's why they had these serious punishments like this for high treason, treason against the realm or against the nation and the country. A racial treason is worse than treason to the land, to the country, I think, because it's actual people
permanent.
Rather than the land. Permanent, yeah.
Permanent. No, it's not good enough. That's all I can say on the subject without getting done for treason myself.
Yeah. Well, let's go into what you've been researching this week, Dennis. I think it has a bit of a communist theme to it, doesn't it?
Well, the documentary is obviously communist by the back door, and regular listeners probably know that I've been trying to crack Part 12 now for quite a number of weeks. This is sometimes the case. And I think, at some point I think I'm fine now. I've broke its back, and then something else throws it completely, and I've got to open up different roads, and it takes more time. But yeah, what I found out this week, I went more into the African thing, where communist activities down in Africa took over, and I believe South Africa was betrayed. The reason that these communist governments did take over was by backing from Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, and Kissinger, the New World Order. At one point, even Ronald Reagan of all people, he went to the Congress and actually, well, wrote to the Congress and actually said that the policies and the actions of the government of South Africa constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to the foreign policy and economy of the United States, and to declare a national emergency to deal with that threat. Now, can you believe that? Coming from what was some people would consider a right-wing president saying something like that about South Africa. He's obviously in league. He's a puppet with the New World Order and doing their bidding. That led then to the apartheid laws, which consequently brought that government down.
Yeah, the apartheid laws, I mean, I thought apartheid was quite a good thing to keep them separate, keep the whites and the blacks separate, to so that the blacks could develop at their own pace, and the whites could continue to develop at their own pace, and the blacks were well looked after that way. There was there wasn't very many of them that got shot or killed one another while there were white people policing the situation. It was when the rest of the world interfered and said that they knew better.
Which is what the Reagan thing was all about. It was bringing out laws to bring that government down. It put sanctions on the country.
Well, it's nobody else's business, really. How could people in other countries, white countries, have an opinion on how other white countries should deal with their blacks in a continent that's filled with blacks, like Africa, where they've been living?
Well, the only people who can do that are the people who run the world, if you get my point.
Well, yeah, but they've been living with these Negroes in a continent full of Negroes, and they've been living with them for two or 300 years. And you got people in Britain that were saying, "Oh, apartheid's wrong," and you had all these pop songs being made to free Mandela and all of this, and they'd only had Negroes in Britain since after the Second World War, and there'd only been Negroes in Britain for 50 years or what, something like that. Not that many of them.
It's communist. It's all about this communism for the New World Order. You notice these pop stars at these concerts for Mandela, Bono, and people like that. They're all for the New World Order.
Well, a lot of it was, wasn't it? And that Red Wedge and Billy Bragg and all of these communist groups, and obviously being promoted on the BBC. Pulling at people's heartstrings and saying that these blacks were being terribly treated, and they weren't being terribly treated. Since the end of apartheid, the amount of violent crime there is just phenomenal. The increase.
Well, I'll just give you some figures. Right, after 16 years, the government, the white government, was over in 1994, was it, when the National Congress took over. In 16 years after that, there was 3,338 murdered farmers, and that is equivalent to one every 36 hours.
I know that it's orders of magnitude, like hundreds of times as many violent crimes happen, hundreds of times the amount of murders that happen there, and not murders of whites by blacks, but black-on-black murders.
As well, right? Yeah.
You've got so much corruption if you have a black police force trying to deal with black crime. I mean, they're not going to deal with it, are they? And you've got these various tribes fighting against one another as well. And the communists...
Well, they've been doing that for centuries, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. This is what happens. They burn things down. They burn each other's villages down. And the actual tradition of what happens is if one... a woman, say, gets taken from the village by the next door village. Instead of attacking the next door village, they go and attack another village. And then that other village that they've attacked, it's their responsibility to go, not to attack the original village, but to go and attack another village. So the whole continent would become on fire of these villages attacking one another. Exactly. until eventually the last village to get attacked would pay compensation to the first one. And this would regularly happen. It's written about in I think it's in the Negroes in Negroland, book, which is a collection of reports. I actually did some narrations on, but that's the sort of crazy customs that they had over there. So the only way to prevent that was with white people. That's why they looked up to the white people. And if they hadn't started sending them over to university in Britain, to the London School of Economics, where the brighter ones of these blacks would then be susceptible to the communist brainwashing, basically. And the communists would say, look, you know, you go back there, we'll fund you, we'll give you weapons, start campaigning for, black rule. And that's what happened. It's what happened in Rhodesia and Kenya.
Totally. I mean, the fact is that Mandela was a communist as well, and the ANC was dominated by communists. But this is obviously wasn't publicised to too many over here, because the word communism at that time wasn't the best word to be saying. Another thing about being betrayed, Reagan being one, but many people have a certain vision of what Margaret Thatcher was. When you look very closely at what she actually was, she may have always had this illusion of a tough stand on Europe, but she wasn't one for actually pulling out of Europe. And I've got several pictures here of her promoting Europe and everything it stands for, which of course is no borders, immigration, and it's all under a communist system. And when it comes to South Africa, her and her government took this stance that they were in favour of the Botha government, where there's been secret documents up on the internet now released in the archives, which shows that she was actually talking to the ANC all the time. She was denouncing them as terrorists. And this, again, is because she was doing the bidding of people like Kissinger and David Rockefeller. So when people wonder why she had a funeral worth 10 million, fit for a queen, there's your answer. She was a puppet to the New World Order, and a good one.
And she also took the vote away from the National Front as well, didn't she? She said she was going to be anti-immigration and get rid of the immigrants. And a lot of the people that were going to vote for the National Front said, we're going to stick with the Conservatives they've said that, they are going to deal with immigration. And then she turned her back on that and betrayed them all. And that's what happened to the National Front.
Everything is a lie. Yeah.
This is why when you get people like Farage says he looks up to Margaret Thatcher, people instantly are going to be against Farage for saying that.
Exactly. And plus Cameron said at the time when Mandela was over here, he said that it was wrong what Margaret Thatcher used to say about him. And yet he's a son of Thatcher. So, you know, it's intertwining lies and deceit, because he is a son of Thatcher, as is his oppo.
And Mandela never recanted of his terrorist acts. He never, ever showed any remorse for his terrorist acts.
No.
He was found lots of weapons, and we weren't told about these horrific ways that they were actually treating the other blacks. I mean, this necklacing that they used to do, that's a horrific torture that they used to do to any of the blacks that wouldn't go along with their communist plans. The ones that said, well, hang on a minute, we don't want to be running things, we're not capable of running things, and we have law and order with the white people here, then they would just be tortured to death. They would have to go along with the black terrorists. And it's pretty sickening to think we have a statue of him in the middle of London, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a few statues in the middle of London I could pull down. But to be honest, some of the countries did resist this communist takeover down in Angola and Congo, places like that. The United Nations went in and flattened anyway. They were doing exactly what they did in Haiti. Not the peacekeeping outfit that we're told they are.
Well, Haiti's another example of what happens when you have black rule. I think the UN have had to go in there three times to try and sort things out. And they've constantly required food aid and help with everything. And yet it's still, one of the lowest of the third world countries that there is. Haiti became under black rule thanks to the French Revolution. It was the aftermath of the French Revolution and brotherhood and liberty, fraternity, equality, all these Freemasonic terms We're all equal. And of course, once they'd wiped out all the white people, then they were incapable of keeping the system going that they had. So they lost all the prosperity. Haiti used to be a paradise.
It's interesting because, well, I get comments every now and again, especially on YouTube, and from these people that come on and say, like, that I'm having a go at communism and I don't really know what communism is. And last time I had a little bit of a debate with one of these people, I actually said to him, well, name me one communist country what hasn't committed genocide. And he come back and said, there hasn't been a communist country. And I don't know exactly what cloud this guy lives on, but for some reason, they have a different look at communism as what I have, for sure.
Well, maybe they still must still believe in it. They don't realise that it's just a scam to put these kleptomaniacs in power. And what they want is equality for all. And I was just reading today, and I thought this was quite a good phrase. The opposite of equality is quality. So you're basically, equality is not having anything of quality.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're the lowest of everything. That's the only way you can make people all equal, is to go down to the lowest common denominator.
There's two systems that the elite love, and one is communism and one is democracy. It is the preferred system in this country, democracy, which Adolf Hitler many times spoke up against, and it's the fact that, you know, you could control the masses quite easily to keep people, you know, that you want in power. Same in America, but the real power is behind the curtain. You know, they'll have the puppets in front, as was Thatcher and Reagan and every other president. And if not, they'll shoot you like they shot Kennedy.
People don't realise that what we have, this that we're told is capitalism, a large part of it is the same as communism. That's what all these minority groups are, and raising up the minority groups to controlling things and giving them favoured status. Because communism was class war, and it was based on getting the classes to fight against one another. But when that didn't take off, you got the cultural Marxism, which was promoting these minority groups instead of the classes. You would then have minority groups. So then you would start trouble between the minority groups and raise the minority groups up as the new underclass. So they would take the place of the working class. Instead of the workers' revolution, it would be a revolution of these minority groups and putting them in positions of power. And that's what the EU did as well. It gave these minority groups more power than the countries themselves. This is why,
because it's a Marxist system.
Yeah, it's a totally Marxist system.
Exactly. Which is, again, brings it back to Thatcher, you know, promoting Europe. I mean, if she was the person everybody thinks she was, she would have pulled out of Europe straight away, because she, you know, everyone thought they knew her thoughts on communism anyway. But you see her shaking hands with Gorbachev, and you see her, you know, with shaking hands with Mandela, and all this kind of carry on. And this is Margaret Thatcher, the woman, you know, of iron. All an illusion.
Well, it's not just Margaret Thatcher, is it? I mean, it's all conservatives. Exactly. They don't seek to conserve anything. Just this week, a conservative minister, Theresa May, has banned Matthew Heimbach from coming into Britain. Matthew Heimbach is the frontman or the secretary. I'm not sure what you call himself, but he's the main driving force behind the Traditionalist Youth Network. Traditionalist. And conservatives are supposed to be traditionalists. They're supposed to preserve traditions. And they do nothing of the sort.
How can they be traditionalists when they're advocating gay marriage? You know, they're not what, you know, there is no left and right. There really isn't. It's just you take orders from this government behind the scenes, or power behind the scenes. It's simple as that. You may act left, or you may act right wing. But consequently, when you look at what's going on in history, it's just been one complete lie. Really has.
That's it. I mean, that's what we try to promote on here, is the truth. That's why your truth will out. The truth will always come out in the end. It always does. Well, and the truth is
nothing more. There's nothing more central ground, as I say this every week, there's nothing more central ground than being a nationalist. Because when you start off on that basis, where a person loves his country and loves his people, he is the centre ground. When you get other people coming in saying, oh no, that's not right, we've got to bring in immigrants, etc., that is extremism. But somehow they've twisted it in their stupid logic. And so people have gone down that road now that anything nationalistic is extreme. How crazy is that?
Well, the natural position is the truth, and the natural position is to tell the truth and have everything based on the truth. This comes from Simon Shepherd. He says there is no verb to truth. You can lie, you can tell, but there's no. You can be lying, but there's no verb. You can't be truthing, because the truth is a natural default position, is the truth. And the lies.
Well, under scrutiny, you can always tell the truth, I feel. Under intense scrutiny, or the truth, which is why they deny any investigations into certain past historical, well, one past historical event.
Well, that's what they seek to do, is to suppress the truth by silencing it. But they'll never be able to. And they just have to come out with more and more draconian laws and put more and more resources into trying to suppress the truth, because it's more powerful than anything else. You know, truth conquers all. Wine is strong, women are stronger, the king is strongest, but the truth conquers all. And that's exactly. An old phrase. I think that's an apocryphal quote from the Apocrypha, I think.
That's quite very impressive true. For this time of day.
So sometimes my memory works how I'd like it to.
You must have had a good sleep last night, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, I did as well, yeah, for once. But again, going back to this communism thing, well, no, before I go back to that, I'd just like to mention on Guy Fawkes. I never actually celebrated Guy Fawkes myself, even as a young boy, because I knew at an early stage like that he was a Catholic and Catholics were tortured over in this country, like, and me being a Catholic of sorts, not allegiance to the present Vatican. But at that time, I just felt that it wasn't worth celebrating, because I'd have probably been one of them as well, trying to blow up Parliament as well. But I watched a documentary once, and it actually showed the place where they kept him in the Tower of London. And if you've ever been to Tower of London, they have these little enclaves into the wall, which is probably like a foot wide and about 3 foot tall. And they kept him inside one of them for numerous weeks. So when he come out, he would have been a brutal man completely. And I also watched another documentary which emulated the explosion. And in them days, Parliament wasn't like concrete building, it was like a wooden building. And they estimated that the gunpowder that would have gone off. And so they set it all up and in this big field, built this mock parliament and put all these dummies in representing where the king would have been and where the prime minister would have been, etc., the whole parliament thing, and then blew it up. And my word, that did go up, trust me. That did go up. There would have been, well, there were no heads left on the dummies that they used. Impressive, I've got to be honest. But unfortunately, you know, the plot was discovered and he suffered the consequences. But yeah, just, you know, just going to happen back just for a second anyway.
It must have been awkward seeing people celebrating Guy Fawkes and then thinking, well, hang on a minute, what about the history of that? If I'm Catholic,
well, to be honest,
he was Catholic.
The gospel truth, when you just said it was Guy Fawkes Day yesterday, I never knew. And that's the gospel truth. I didn't know. Because I've never celebrated it.
No, I don't blame you. Is that the same for most Catholics then? Or do they just look on it as, oh, it's just a bit of history,
well,
it doesn't matter?
I think most Catholics have been integrated into Britain. But what most Catholics don't understand is, in this day of equality, Catholics in this country are looked on as a third-rate citizen. They're not allowed any of the top jobs. They're not allowed to be Prime Minister. If you remember, when Tony Blair left, he then joined the Roman Catholic Church. But you're not allowed any top job in the police or any top job in government as such as the Prime Minister. And simple reason for that is Freemasonry, because all them jobs go to Freemasonry, and Freemasonry at its core is works against Christianity. Now, I'm not saying there's no Freemasons in the Vatican at the moment. There certainly is, because that, again, was infiltrated after World War II. But that is the situation. I can't be Prime Minister or any of my family or any of my relatives, whatever, because of my religion. How wonderful is that in this wonderful day and age?
Well, it's the wrong way around, isn't it? It should be Jews that aren't allowed into those positions, not Catholics, not Christians.
Well, yeah. Freemasonry is in its roots is Jewish, isn't it? Again, so they're accepted.
And the Freemasons have infiltrated the church, especially the Catholic Church.
Paedophilia is a prime example. And the cover-up of the Brotherhood, where the bishops and the priests haven't been publicly named and displayed and shamed.
And a lot of that paedophilia cover-up is, they call it paedophilia because it is homosexuality. And a lot of it is homosexuals with choir boys. Because homosexuals have an urge for young boys, basically. They don't want older men. They want young boys. That's why they're always campaigning to lower the age of consent. And they've lowered it from 21 to 18 to 16.
Even the use of Viagra sometimes crosses my mind. Like, is it not for these older guys like who were, you know, want it for paedophilia or young boys, you know?
I mean, it's sickening. But where you can't criticise homosexuality... they say, "Oh yeah, oh, it's pedophilia." But if they had their way, they would keep lowering the age of consent. So they would say, "Well, it's not pedophilia. It was consensual." It's sickening. But there was a concerted attack on the church. They declared that they were going to infiltrate it and take it over. There are writings of Jews saying that they were going to infiltrate the church. There are communists saying they were going to infiltrate the church. Obviously, Freemasonry.
Yeah. Yeah, well, coming back to this communist thing again, I went into some research in America about how they infiltrated and manipulated the blacks, because many people may be surprised or were surprised to find out that the civil rights movement with our friend, his mind slips me now.
David Horowitz?
Was a cop. The civil rights.
That was one of the words you got. Names you got me to remember. David Horowitz. Oh, you were talking Martin Luther?
Yeah, well, that's one of them.
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King, I've actually been to the Lorraine Hotel in my time, and the room is let exactly the same as when it was shot that morning. But he was a communist. And the situation was is that the Jews actually, early part of that century, there was an organisation called the NAACP, which they were like a Jewish alliance with the blacks, where they, you know, they instigated, this is like a pre-civil rights movement. So right from the off, the Jews were involved. And eventually, Sergeant Shriver, who was a government minister, a guy in 2011, actually gave $1 million to a gang called the Blackstone in Chicago. So all this is all Jewish backed and Jewish funded. And one particular guy, Harold Cruz, wrote a book about the crisis of the Negro intellectual, and stating that Harlem, you know, was run by communist Jews, all these Black Panthers, and other violent organisations of that around about that time of blacks were all Jew backed, and as we mentioned that name that you just mentioned, then David Horowitz, he raised the funds for the Black Panther, and today he's a neocon who is working for the liberal, with the Israeli lobby. So the Jews go very deep and again behind the curtain.
So they flip sides from communism back then in the 60s to then becoming neocons in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, and that's right. And when that kind of come to its end, they briefly moved on to feminism, which again was Jewish orientated. And believe it or not, after that, then they had some riots by some gays. I'm trying to find out just what they were called now. So something like the Stonewall Riots, where the gays fought for 3 days. Against the police, and actually got their way to where we are today. We've got Gay Pride every weekend, and so that's another Jewish movement.
I'm trying to think who it was that actually said that. It might have been Marcus Garvey or Malcolm X, and they actually pointed out that the black movement, the black civil rights movement, was all being run by Jews, and it was Jews at the front. Yeah, and they would just put their black puppet as the frontman for it that would speak about it, their Shabbos Goy, basically, and it would be the Jews behind the scenes stirring everything up and encouraging the rioting. And I do believe at one point in these riots, they weren't attacking any of the Jewish stores. I think that was in the...
funny that, isn't it?
Yeah, that was in The Biological Jew by Eustace Mullins, because he writes about those riots when they were happening and about the Jewish involvement in them. And you still see it today with Black Lives Matter. You've got George Soros, who's funding Black Lives Matter. Again, another Jew. And you've also got, there have also been other reports that we've covered at the Daily Stormer of the Jews being involved in that Black Lives Matter movement, fronting it and providing the intellectual know-how behind the scenes, basically.
Just like they're involved in the migrations into Europe. It's the same scenario. They're always behind, always causing mayhem. It's just another branch of what they do.
Well, there's the civil rights movement in America. I mean, that with the Jews behind it, that can be traced back to the communist or the black takeovers in Africa, being directed by the Jewish communists. It's always sort of run by them from behind the scenes. It's always funded by them. And they'll try and say that it's a grassroots movement of this minority, but it's not. It takes place as part of the cultural Marxism plan to set the society fighting against one another, and to elevate these minorities to these positions where they're all puppets, all working for the moneyed Jewish power. And at the same time, it also attacks their eternal enemy, the white man, who they have historical grudges against for the last 2,000 years. If you read Professor Kevin MacDonald's work, they have these historical grudges against us. It doesn't have to be a religious hatred or a biological hatred. You know, they where we had to eject them from our countries because of the way they treated us. The way they treated us, that's the way that they think that's quite natural to indulge in usury and just take whatever you can from the nation that you're living among. That's natural behaviour to them. It's codified in the Talmud. You know, they have a religion based around it. So they naturally feel that way, and they naturally feel justified in what they do against us. That's why we say it's a biological problem. It's their racial soul. And the point of it is so that we realise that and reject it ourselves and don't become like it ourselves. But in order to do that, we need to remove them from our midst.
Yeah, this guy, you know, like Blair and people like that, you know, and all the rest of them, they see the money, they take the money, and then they do the business for them. And like, you'll never see Israeli troops going in with American troops into Iraq or into Afghanistan. They'll let the Americans and the British die, let their sons and daughters die, rather than Israeli troops.
Well, the only time you see Israeli troops is when you see the Mossad getting caught working with ISIS.
Or clattering into Palestine.
Yeah, that was a recent one. It was a Mossad operative who got caught with ISIS. They're the ones that are...
that's not a surprise, is it, really? You know, they've been... I mean, they even treat the soldiers for injuries. And the same goal again, like, you know, they never attack Israel, do they? They only attack Israel's enemies, which is Assad and Christians.
With the Syria attacks, where they've stepped up the war against Assad and started this war against Assad, you can say, well, the Saudi Arabians have contributed to that a lot as well, and the Saudi Arabians are linked with Israel. They don't have any problem with having Israel there. They might claim that they're Muslim and they have solidarity with the Palestinians, but they do all their deals with Israel. They don't criticise Israel. They make a lot of money from Israel.
They're migrants now. They like Israel.
No, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
They won't have them. They say that they're terrorists and they're going to cause trouble. if they allow them into Saudi Arabia. But they're quite happy to build 200 mosques in Europe for the ones that they want Europe to take, which says two things. It says two things. It says that they want to take over in Europe. They think it's fine to build mosques there. And the second thing that it says is that those immigrants who have no intention of ever returning back to their Arabian countries. They're just being funneled into Europe to take over.
Bring them back to Merkel again.
I mean, how could Merkel do that? I think she must hate her people.
She's not actually a German patriot, is she? She's obviously not. I mean, I've seen a clip of YouTube this week where somebody passes her a German flag, she pulls her face in disgust and puts it down.
That's sickening. How can you have somebody leading your country as prime minister of your country that is repulsed by the flag of your own country? And this is what's been done to us. As white people, half of our people see our flag and look at it with disgust. Instead of looking at the flag and thinking, well, look at the great things we've done. Look at what we've brought to the world. Medicine, computers, technology, roads, telephones, cars, travel, aeroplanes,
absolutely,
writing, mathematics. Instead of thinking of that, they look at the flag and they just think, well, look at these terrible wars in the Middle East and look at the British Empire. But the terrible wars in the Middle East are all for the benefit of the Jews. They're all for the benefit of Israel. None of them have benefited us. And it's always been the Jews in our parliaments, in our governments, that have been calling for these wars.
And you've got to remember who owns Israel as well, because what's good for Israel is good for the owners. And Rothschilds own Israel. So it all goes back into a full circle where the Fed is run by, you know, the Rothschilds via Rockefellers, etc., and the shifts. Europe is all the countries in Europe after World War II dominated by Goldman Sachs and Rothschilds, and the communist state they're building there with no borders. It goes full circle, but all the way around to Israel when you find out that Israel's owned by the Rothschilds. So there's your answer to the world's problems.
Well, it's also their bolt hole for when they get caught committing crimes in other countries, isn't it? They always just fly back to Israel. That has no extradition treaties with anywhere else.
With anybody. And is it a surprise Tel Aviv is the gay capital of the world? I wouldn't have thought so.
Oh, it's bizarre, isn't it? You got Boy George, who's actually tattooed a Jewish star on his head because Tel Aviv is such a big
mecca. I like a little map for him. It would have been far more painful.
You got Elton John. Have you seen him this week? You're talking about going into Africa.
Just before you say that, hang on a second. I've just got to say, right, before I knew that people like Elton John and George Michael and people like that who did write great songs, but as soon as I realised they were gay, all these songs they were singing to the boyfriend, it completely ruined every single record of collection I had. So that's treason in my eyes. That's another getting dragged off with some horses. But go on, sorry, I went off on another track there.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, they promote all of this. I mean, why should Elton John be on the news just for this pop star for saying that he's going to be sending medicines to Africa and working to free the persecuted homosexuals in Africa? And then he's talking about the transsexuals and how this needs to go further. And the woman on the television asked him, or the interviewer asked him and said, "Well, why do you think it is that there's been such an increase in transsexuals and people wanting to be transgender?" Yeah. And so he said, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe because it's 2015."
Well, I do.
It's obvious why it is. It's because they keep promoting it. They're teaching it to kids to be like it.
Not only that, women would have been taking the birth pill with Cypro running since 1997. The male fetus is more than likely feminised in the babies. It's probably why we're finding more and more homosexuals walking around.
Well, we went into that in a couple of podcasts back, didn't we?
That's right.
If people are new to that, we did an episode where we discussed the feminisation in the womb due to these chemicals that the women are taking. It's just interesting.
They've no idea what they're taking. They've no. In fact, I saw something on the TV the other day where in America, there's certain elements. Can't remember the word begins with X now, right? But which they put into sweeteners, which actually killed the dog. The dog actually died. It affected the dog's kidneys. So you're not telling me in some way humans aren't affected as well? Because when I see rat poison, or a rat sees rat poison, we both turn away because we know it's poison. But when this stuff they're putting in sweeteners is killing a dog, and the people have been warned to check your pantry to see, like, you know, just what's in these sweeteners, so you don't give them your dog, like in chocolate and stuff like that. It's a problem. I mean, I love my dog. I like to give him treats, but even that's getting restricted now.
Well, I don't actually have a pet myself, but you would have thought that if we've got a problem with males turning feminine, and if we've got a problem with this happening with the fetuses, and obviously with the water that's got all the traces of the contraceptive pill in it that's doing this to males, you would have thought that there would be an increase in trying to increase masculinity. You know, you try to increase the masculinity in the young boys, make them, you know, more male-like, and have everything in society encouraging them to be masculine, not telling them, oh, it's great to be a woman.
Yeah.
You know, mutilate your body.
There's not a man among them. There's more male testosterone in the women contestants on X Factor.
All of it. I don't really watch the television, but I know it's going to be exactly as you say. Much,
every now and again by the wife, but what can you do when someone walks out in a skirt and high heels and everybody praises him? How wonderful you're looking! This world's gone topsy turvy.
I mean, you'd like to think that you could rely on technology, but just about everything is faulty, including ourselves. You know, we do seem to have this sort of corrupt streak in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't go following the Jews in these things that they dangle before us, because we could see that it was going to be harmful to us. You know, we wouldn't be taking up this pornography. We wouldn't be getting involved in usury. We wouldn't be ripping our people off if we didn't have that corruptive streak in the first place. This is why this idea of utopia can never work. It could never work, because you've always got bad people around.
Yeah, but they know that there's an element of sheep in society, and whatever you put on that television, they will follow. It's the same every election. So a big section of that society are sheep, and another bigger section are tied up with endless hours in a job which doesn't pay, and so they're tied up wondering how to, you know, keep the family afloat. The rest of them rushing home to watch Coronation Street or Brookside or whatever, and so they've no time to actually look to see what's going on around them. And one day everyone will wake up and think, how the hell did all this happen? I'm pretty sure, and that day is not that far away, where, you know, transgenders are going to be normal, and there's going to be, you know, no white person in sight. That will be the norm one day, and people just wonder how the hell it happened. And to be honest, we need chastising ourselves, because the future of this planet is in our, you know, for our children, and one day they're going to wake up and think, what the hell? How the hell did we let it all happen? And who can blame them?
This is just it. How could we be so deluded to be allowing us to be replaced like this and deceived and corrupted like this? I mean, all you can say is that the pace of change is now so rapid, and it's increasing so fast, that there's going to be more of a chance of people waking up to it and realising what's going on. When you see German villages outnumbered 10 to 1 by Africans, all of a sudden overnight they just turn up in buses. There's got to be a reaction to that. People can't just sit there and take it. I mean, it's been a very slow increase so far. We've slowly seen all the white people replaced in our capital cities.
Oh, so it's stealth-like, isn't it? Since World War II, very stealth-like. You know, even the communist thing's been nice and quiet. It's been going on. Even, you know, no mention of Mandela being a communist and such, you know, because, you know, that frightens people. But no, you're quite right. Suddenly there's been a burst of it. And to me, it started that day, Eurovision Song Contest. The guy came out with a dress and beard, if I could call it a guy. And the next day, the whole country was stunned. They had no idea. They just couldn't comprehend the fact that this woman in a dress had a beard. But from then on, it's been push, push, push. And this latest immigrant thing's just one of the latest episodes. And someone's going to wake up in, you know, 50 years' time and say, did that generation not realise when there's, like, you know, 100,000 a week arriving in Europe, did they not realise that this was not genocide? And I do believe a big proportion of people don't realise it. Look at that propaganda of the baby on the beach and get all the heartstrings pulled and fall for it every time, though.
Yeah, did you think that it's increasing like this? I mean, how else are people going to wake up unless it increases, unless things get worse? Because they haven't all woken up to it yet. Just yet, so far.
It can't get any worse.
What can be done? You know, what's the other option?
Well, put 5 million in Europe. I don't think people are going to. They'll just use another excuse. It's just, to me, it's. Well, we said this. Well, I said this last week to you. I said, you know, I think the days of Europe's over. I know we like to be positive, but let's get real. You put 1 million Africans into Europe, it's a problem. You know, there's a reason that Sweden now has got the highest rape in Europe. You know, there's certain reasons, you know, why every time on TV now there's a black person. It's Europe, to me, it's a major problem now. I can't see it recovering. I really can't. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm just trying to be real.
Well, you have still got enclaves where it hasn't happened. You know, I can think of Lithuania. I know it's only a small country, but it's over 99% white. Estonia, Latvia, they're still 99% white. And Eastern European countries, they're standing up saying we're not having this.
To face it, you know, if this succeeds and they carry on doing what they're doing, they will be next to be pressurised into doing it, either politically or military, because, as you know and I know, you know, the end goal is to get rid of the white race. So fair play to them at the moment. They're obviously streets ahead of most places. But then again, you know, they had the beauty of World War II and they really did know what was going on then, which is why the old SS celebrations every year. And Jews were trying to put a spoke in it are stopped even by the police there from getting anywhere near it, which is quite an unusual thing. But you'll know better than me because you visited the place, yeah?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's their heroes. I mean, those people laid down their lives so that members of the country could escape before the communists took over again and deported them all to Siberia. And they continued fighting against these communists for years afterwards. And they lived in these bunkers in the forests under the ground with the villagers bringing them food and carrying out these partisan attacks against these communists for years and years afterwards. You know, they just gave their lives up for this. No, and they're banned from celebrating it. Because it was the Germans that gave them weapons and they formed these SS groups, and they only ever fought against the communists. They were absolved of any crimes at the Nuremberg trials, and yet these countries aren't allowed to honour their memory because the Jews kick up a fuss about it. And yeah, you're right. When the anti-fascist group, they wanted to hire a hotel in the town in Riga, they weren't able to hire a hotel. All the hotel owners said, "No,
please,
you're not hiring it."
Which was a shot to the system, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, it's good to see. So there are little pockets of resistance in places that are succeeding.
They must be having nightmares seeing what's going on in Central Europe then. My word.
Well, I think it causes a bit of a sort of confusion with them because they were taken over and occupied by what was essentially Russia, and Russia was essentially the enemy. to mm-hmm. see Russia now being the upholder of tradition. And
well, that's interesting to point out, because
awkward for them, confusing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had this discussion around on this week, and I actually said, and I asked a question, and a lot of people have doubts about Putin, but to be personally frank, I don't think we've got any other alternative. You know, there's nobody else with a country with a military big enough to back off this new world order anyway, which is Christian and mainly white. But I can understand, I mean, Putin's not perfect, and I can understand people having doubts about it. But the question that I pose is, would Hitler invade Russia today? I don't think he would.
Well, now, why? What would be the point?
Exactly. Because of all things, Putin is a nationalist. And if he's a nationalist and he cares about his country and he cares about his population, which he obviously does with the speeches he comes out and his actions in Syria, where he's going in there and actually saving Christians as well from ISIS and trying to uphold the Assad government, which obviously the New World Order want taken down. And it doesn't take a genius to know that the New World Order want him, and he knows that, but he's got a country big enough to back him off, or at least go to war with him. There is no other alternative. The last great army went down in 1945 and left us with no protection. But with Putin, at least he's a Christian and he's white and he's a nationalist. I don't think we've got any other choice but to take a chance.
Well, I would say he was a patriot. I suppose it is the Russian people that he's more interested in rather than the Russian land, but I would say he was more sort of patriotic than nationalist. But the big difference was with the Bolsheviks and with Stalin, he was all prepared to invade Western Europe, wasn't he? He built up all the tanks. Yeah. Built up the army. If Hitler hadn't gone and striked when he did, communism would have taken over.
For sure. And if there should be a statue anywhere, it should be one of Hitler.
Yeah. And he's, as I say, he saved Western Europe from the fate that Eastern Europe went through. So, no, I don't think Hitler would be invading Russia today at all. If it was to happen today.
People can argue the point, but I don't think so. I don't think so, because they're not a threat anymore, to the likes of what Germany was then.
Well, people can say, well, look at Putin about some of the bad things he's done. But if you look at the positive things he's done, he may speak out against National Socialism and fund these anti-fascist groups. But that's really just to subvert the West, because we fund these NGOs in Russia to subvert Russia and to subvert exactly. Putin. But when you look at his policies, trying to promote traditionalism, not allowing the corruption of the young minds, they're talking about putting a law through in Russia banning all outward displays of deviant sex, all outward displays of unnatural sex in public.
This is where the moral standard comes in. He's another one with morals.
But the bizarre thing about that is it's the Communist Party that has suggested it. So I find that very bizarre. So even the Communist Party over there doesn't want to see this promotion of deviant sex. And the corruption of young minds.
Common sense in it. I wish Obama would take note of all this, because last time I saw it was Satan going up.
Well, Obama is just promoting homosexuality all over the world, and that seems to be what he's known for. I discovered today that the moderate Muslims, or the army that they've been funding to go against ISIS, is all made up of women, females, Kurdish females. Now, there's a whole platoon of Kurdish females that America is funding to go and fight against ISIS.
Well, that's interesting, because Adolf Hitler never looked upon putting women into battle. He said that the horrors that he saw in World War One, he could never put the likes of his mother through. And so even in the hour of despair when the Bolsheviks were coming, rarely would you ever see a woman in any kind of an army or with a gun or anything like that, because he valued women and treated them as such. Whereas the first real female army was the Bolsheviks and the Israelis, where they tend to not think as the women are just on the same level.
It's dangerous having women in the army because, for one, the men are going to want to protect them, and for two, they're not going to be physically as fit as the men. And the only way to actually get them into the army is to lower the standards once again.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could possibly say that there'd be a sexual distraction, but I believe most of them are lesbians anyway, so...
Well, there is that, but you also, if you've got a choice of who you're going to save, that the men are going to go and save the women. They're not going to leave them there. They're going to have to go back and rescue them and put themselves at risk.
Being the lone wolf I am, I don't think I would, but that's just me.
Well, yeah, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's different, but I dare say, you know, that is the natural instinct that comes in is a protective instinct over women. That's the natural... male instinct is to protect and provide for women, and the natural women's instinct is to make a home and produce a family and bring the family up. That's the natural woman's realm is the home, and the man's realm is outside of the home, providing for the woman and protecting the woman. And when the men don't have that, they're not provided with the facilities to do that. That's when you get the situation we've got today, where you've got the highest rate of death among males over 40 is suicide, because men have just they've lost their position in life, and the women are playing at being the men, because that's all they're doing, and it's playing at it.
Well, this is an interesting point, because there was a YouTube channel that have this on, where this really aggressive overweight woman was kind of attacking this guy over there in America. She was something she didn't like about it, and she was kicking off, and some people were saying that well, the actual point of the video was, where does the point come where you actually strike back? And obviously there's some men around today with old morals living in that old traditional time which wouldn't strike a woman, but today when you've got women with more testosterone than men, it becomes a problem. And my say on it has always been, act like a man, treat like. Simple as that.
You cut out just there on the second part of that that phrase. Do you want to repeat that, Dennis?
I will repeat it again. Upset all the feminists. Act like a man, treated like a man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
that's the solution.
That's quite right. But as I say, sometimes the instincts take over. They don't really want to be treated as a man, because a man wants to be treated for his merits. He doesn't want a quota. He doesn't want to be given a job just because he's a man. He wants his job by his merit. He wants to be given that job because he's good at the job, because he's worked hard to get it. Not just because they need X amount of men there, but because they want people with the qualifications. This is the madness with this diversity agenda, with the female quotas, with the minority quotas, with the homosexual quotas. Anybody that actually had any character to them, any moral standing, would refuse to do that. All men would refuse to do that. All white men. White men wouldn't want a job just because you're a white man. You want it on your merit. I mean, how shameful. To have a position that you've just been given just because of your what gender you are,
you know, but Corbett got minority a lot of stick, didn't he, for not picking enough women. I mean, you know, just because he didn't pick enough women in his cabinet, I thought people should be picked on merit at that level, at any level, as you just said, just on merit. Whether they're a man or a woman, it don't really matter. In fact, if it's on merit, it's on merit. And if he didn't think women were good enough, then women weren't good enough. But just to put them in just to say it because of women is another left-wing Bolshevik Marxist trait, isn't it?
And they keep saying, oh, we've got further to go yet because we need 50% women in the workforce. Why? You would have 50% women in the workforce if they were good enough, wouldn't you? There's no businessman, nobody that owns a business is going to not employ the people that are best at the job. He's not going to think, well, no, I can't pick this one because she's a woman, even though she does the job better than the man. He's going to pick who's best at the job because they want to make the most money.
Yeah, but that's
they're not going to accept
as well,
a cut,
this
are they?
This is what it's come down to.
I'm not going to accept a cut in profits. it just strikes me as just completely insane.
But it is.
Well, we're getting near the end of the podcast now as well, and we're actually on time this week. Do you want to just let people know where they can find your work, Dennis, before we say goodbye?
You can find me The Greatest Story Never Told.tv for the Adolf Hitler documentary. We've got the Communism by the Backdoor.tv website for the latest documentary, and hopefully I'm going to have part 12 ready shortly, maybe, you know, a week and a half at the most. And you can always catch me on YouTube on the Dennis Wise channel.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us once again, Dennis, and thank you for listening, listeners. And we'll be back again next Friday at the usual time.
Stormer on the Daily Stormer.com.